NSAT.com.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, gentle, yes, I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. Hi, everybody. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. This hour is brought to you by Numana, and Numana is the very best in storable food. They win all the comparison tests. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use Hodges10 in the promo code to take 10% off. Well, our thanks go out to Joe Hagman, the Hagman and Hagman Report, for joining us. And certainly, I think Joe's suggestion, just engage people in conversations, talk to them about what's wrong with the world. And, you know, what I liken waking people up to is like going into a house. There's not one way to get into a house. You can go in through the front door, the back door, the garage, the side door. You could even be a bad guy and break in through the window, cut a hole in the roof. There's many ways into the knowledge base of the New World Order, the globalists, and what they're up to. What attracts people there are what their issues are. What attracted you to this topic isn't necessarily going to be what's going to attract everyone else to this topic. And what I have found is that if you could find a way to personalize, oh, really, you like that? Like property rights? See, that's what it was for me. McCain and his merry band of thieves were trying to steal my land and that of 300 of my neighbors without any compensation. And then I learned about, oh, the North American Union. And, gee, we're going to be three countries in one, like the European Union here. We're going to be the North American. This is not good. American sovereignty going bye-bye. That was my ticket into the New World Order. That's how I got into this house. But for someone else, it could be financial issues, could be political issues, could be CPS issues, could be a number of things. And this is why I tell people, when you're talking to people, listen for their hot buttons, because that is the avenue that we have to use to engage people, to wake them up. Here's the problem that they have. America is waking up. The world is waking up. There's a worldwide populist movement going on right now. So what we have to do is exploit this. And I think we have to become missionaries of the truth. I mean, we're all, hopefully, missionaries for Jesus Christ. And that commands us to be missionaries for the truth. Anyway, earlier this week, I caught up with my friend Lisa Haven. And all of you know how fond I am of Lisa. She just does such terrific work. And this is no exception. We have a real frank discussion about the current state of politics. And this is one you're not going to want to miss. Todd, let's go ahead and roll that interview. Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're brought to you by Numana Foods. Don't get caught short in these impending crises that seem to be steamrolling in our direction. Get the peace of mind that comes knowing that you have protected your family. Go to numana.com/Hodges and use the promo code Hodges10 to take 10% off. Well, on the newsmaker line with me today, we have Lisa Haven. And Lisa is no stranger to this show, and she keeps putting out blockbuster articles and videos and discoveries of what the globalists are up to, and they got too much free time on their hands. And we're going to talk about a couple of issues today. We're going to talk about a really creepy kind of cloning, and then we're going to be talking about a new phenomenon called FedCoin. Lisa, glad you could join us. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm extremely excited to be here. Dave, you know I always love your broadcast, so thank you.
Okay, well, pleasure is all ours. But you have covered these topics, and it's amazing because I can't find them anywhere in the mainstream media. Is this something they just don't know about, or is this something that the globalists are trying to keep on the down low? What do you think?
Oh, all of it. You know, every day I come across new documents, new information from studies from universities, Yale University, Harvard University, to big technological groups and organizations that are doing things like above and beyond the ordinary, above and beyond anything that we can imagine. But a lot of the things, like we're going to talk about in a moment, the Project Pi, which is a group of brainiacs. Actually, one of them used to work on Bitcoin and really involved in Bitcoin. Bitcoin and the Bitcoin miners, the people that are kind of the in-between there that do all the approvals, do all the tracking and the blocking of Bitcoin itself in between, you know, the Bitcoin makers and the public. But this is one of the innovators of this Project Pi. But the mainstream media won't touch anything like this because they know it will not necessarily panic the public, but it exposes a different level of security breaches, if you will, or getting into our personal spaces. This is above and beyond what our Constitution is attempting to prevent via the, you know, our privacy and these things that are completely obliterated and exposed on the computer, on with the government, with the NSA, with the CIA, with the FBI, and the list goes on. But these projects, they won't get into because they're told that they can't touch them. They're told by government officials that they can't talk about them. And they have to follow the ploy of their masters, if you will, whoever is paying the money, whoever's pushing their paperwork, so to speak. And so they can't speak on such things. And that's why channels like yours and mine have grown exponentially, because we're not hiding or cowering under some money ploy. We're, as it sits, able to talk about whatever we want, whenever we want, as far as the internet goes so far. And that includes some of these creepy organizations that the mainstream media won't touch.
You know, Lisa, I want to ask you this. I don't know if you've had any technical difficulties recently, but in all the time I've been doing this work, I've never been offline more than an hour until recently. My website was taken down for over 24 hours. And I have the best support people in the business. They take care of the biggest websites in the world, and they couldn't figure this out. So I think you're really onto something. This isn't going to be on the mainstream media. They go to awesome lengths to try to prevent people like you and I from bringing this forward. Have you had technical interference in what you do?
Off and on, but not real bad lately, thankfully. But they tend to go in spurts. They'll attack one person and then focus on that. And, you know, I've had attacks on YouTube via censorship. I'm back in Facebook jail, come speak of it. So I get those attacks, yes. And every once in a while you have your technical issues and technical difficulties, for sure, which I'll get. And they also do attack my website. But your website... my YouTube channel is really big, and your website is really big also. So they go after those hardcore, and that's what I see as far as YouTube and everything. They've been demonetizing things, or it comes out demonetized right off the bat. FISA memo. Everything with FISA in it got demonetized right off the bat. No option for fighting it. It was just right off the bat. And that was a Democratic cry, by the way. They asked for that, and they got it.
You know, it's interesting that you'd say that. You know what I've caught YouTube doing, and we've got screenshots of this. They'll demonetize a video of mine, and they say it's not suitable for advertising. But then they'll turn around and run ads on my non-suitable video. They'll come back 3 days later after my foot traffic from the video is gone, and they'll go, "Oh, we reviewed it, and this is really okay." but they've taken away all the revenue.
Yes. Same exact thing happens on my channel.
Fraud. I think it's felonious fraud. Antitrust violations. It's unbelievable what's going on there. It's like a criminal enterprise. And I can't believe that YouTube would allow themselves to fall into this. Before we jump into these topics, I think this is something worth mentioning. I think our listening audience needs to know how hard it is for us to bring these people the word. If we don't derive a little bit of revenue from YouTube, we can't afford these platforms. And this is ultimately what they're trying to do. But what irritates me is how they'll make money on my video while preventing me from making it. And they tell me I'm not appropriate for the same advertisers they're advertising to.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, we have to, in order to keep doing what we're doing and to keep exposing that information, you have to make money like everything else. People aren't going to just be able to sit down, do what we do, and put in the amount of hours, the amount of time, the amount of, because it takes a lot. It takes a lot to get the equipment, to run what we have to do, to research the information. You cannot have a full-time job and do what we do. And nobody can. You're just not going to have the time. You're not going to be at the same level because you have to devote so much time to finding that information because it's hidden. It's hidden among files on the internet. It's hidden among leakers and everything under the sun. And so when they attack that revenue, they know exactly what they're doing because if they can take us out in one of those areas and specifically, you know, the money area, then that can push us so far under where you're forced in a different area and you've just got not the same level of information that you can share. So that's why I think it's very important for people to partner with our sponsors and all that as well, because me and you have taken an external, like you have Numana, I have, and you also have Get the Tea guy. I have well, Get the Tea. And so we've partnered with people that are like-minded, that we agree with, whose products we like, which makes it even better because it's not just Joe Schmo, but these are the kinds of things that help us keep doing what we're doing. So I agree 100%. And that's why we have to fight not only the information war, but the battle, you know, financially, so to speak. And if we're going to be honest, we're going to be honest about it. Everybody has to make income. And this is one way to help fight against the globalists, is just supporting people on that level.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But the most important development, though, is this. They don't want people to have all the information so they can make up their own mind what is true. They want to be the sole determiner of what's right.
They do. They do. And that's why they're trying so hard to eliminate us. And they're starting first with the pocket. And next, I think we're already getting part of it. We have the censorship and then technological issues that are going to tick off a lot of your viewers because they go to your website and you have all these tech issues. It's going to turn people away. So if they can mess with your technology, they can mess with what's going on, and they can. They have all this. This was all released, you know, via WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden, the different projects that they have released by Vault 7. That's one that released all the different projects of the CIA. But they absolutely can do things like screw with your website and in turn tick people off who visit your website. As a result, your traffic will go down, your viewership will go down, and these are ways we have to fight back also.
Yeah, they just, like I said, it's about blatant blackout. And see, this is what has to happen before a country loses its sovereignty and the people lose their freedom. It's the same in every script in every country that's gone down the road of tyrannical totalitarianism, is they first wipe out the messengers. In fact, you know, in Vietnam, Lisa, when the Viet Cong would conquer a village, the very first people they would kill would be the teachers, so they could rewrite the history. And this is what's going on right now. They're really the book burners of the modern day. Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, they're all the book burners. And what's that old saying? Where they burn books, they'll soon burn people.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think it was important that we got that out, because people need to know that this stuff isn't going to come to you unfettered. That if these people have their way, the only message you hear will be CNN.
True, and we all know that's crap news network. I mean, like, honestly, but I mean, you know, we are really putting our butts on the line doing what we're doing, and that is something that I think, you know, doesn't get mentioned enough, if you will. And when we have Communist News Network, ABC, CNN, and the like, all these different channels, and everybody knows that they're fake and frauds, and more light is beginning to shed on that, because you and I go do a similar story to what they've done and reveal all the things that they've purposefully left out. And so now we've kind of opened up the public's eye to see, man, we knew they were fake, but we didn't realize how fake they are.
Yeah,
and that's what's starting to be revealed. Yeah.
That's right. And then, and Steve Quayle, my good friend, liked to say, in the end times, all things get revealed. And this is exactly what we're seeing. The censorship's going to fail. And at the end of the day, all things will be revealed. Well, Lisa, let's talk about this creepy cloning. This has me really concerned. I'm worried about this.
Yeah, it's, you know, I came across the entire project yesterday. I encourage people to go to the website and see it for yourself. And I'm going to leave the link. It's projectpai.com. Now, on this website, you can see they have this thing called a white paper, which kind of breaks down the entire process. And it's fairly new. It's something that they put together this white paper in October of 2017. But what it basically is it's a virtual 3D you, if you will, like completely 100% you. It's a digital profile that is able to think and speak like you, and it is born from the online personality patterns that are tied directly to yourself. But it's an intelligent agent, and it has its own personality and your personality. So to give you the actual definition of Pi, like how they're wording it, it is a 3D intelligent avatar designed to look like you, speak like you, and behave like you in the digital space. It says it's a person's Pi is directly owned and managed by the user, which would be us, who can be compensated, so they get money for sending the information as well, but they get money for deploying their Pi online and creating this brand new AI technology. Now, here's some of the things that they list as like what they need in order to compile this Pi. And this is where, you know, obviously they're going to need information from you to compile it. But I mean, imagine what this information can do in the hands of an enemy. But they need to know your biometrics, your voice, like what your voice sounds like, your face, your facial recognition, your body recognition, your somatics, your social activity. All of your social activity is uploaded, and even your personality is uploaded into this thing. So when it goes and does commands that you ask it to, it's like a twin copy of yourself, but all in the virtual world. So it's taught to be as human as it can possibly be, but this virtual delegated representative, it's like an administrator, a carbon copy of you online. Is that not creepy?
It's beyond creepy. It is just, well, you know what occurred to me when you were speaking? The potential to frame someone for a crime is all there.
For sure. Like, there's no way around it. And that's the other thing.
Yeah.
I have some examples that I want to share with you that they give in this document, because it's only a 30-page document. It's not that long of a read. It's an easy read, and they repeat themselves over and over again. But they say that this thing can be used in education. It can be used in healthcare. It can be used for dating apps, for shopping, for any other service that you really want to use it for, it can do. And when I share some of the things that it actually can do, your jaw hit the floor like, oh my God. But it gets pretty interesting and pretty crazy all in one.
Well, let's get to that. Wow. My head's spinning from that definition you just gave, but I kept going back to frame all the messengers. In other words, the red light was going off. If they want to get you off the air, they'll frame you in some type of child sex trafficking, child pornography, some other crime, unsolved mystery somewhere, and all they got to do is use this technology. It's frightening.
Right. So just put your pie on a little porno site or put your pie up in a pedo ring and you're framed. You're good to go. Because this is so easy to do. That's what I say. The level of corruption. First of all, it's mass surveillance on steroids. Not only do they have your biometrics, your facial recognitions, things that they have been gathering anyway, but not only do they have that, now they have your personality. I mean, imagine what, you know, first off, what, you know, people who are selling things to you on the market can get. You know, right now we have Google coming to our, you know, inboxes saying, oh, you Googled this, let me sell this to you. Yes, so they have an advertisement geared at you, your Google. So imagine advertisements geared at your personality, at your AI, not only your shopping habits, but your everything down to the T of who you are in this little pie icon of you. How much more would we be buying? Would we be spending? Would we be tempted, if you will, on a massive level with something that thinks and talks like you? And like you said, they can definitely use it to frame you. And in the hands of the enemy, if you will, or in the hands of someone like that, imagine the amount of control they can assert over you, knowing your habits and knowing how to brainwash people with those habits. So imagine the level of brainwashing and mind manipulation that can be controlled on that level. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, here's some of the things that this little pie can do. One of the big ones is it can be your personal assistant. And I'm going to read some of this from their diagram, but it can offer like time saving. It can schedule meetings based on, you know, how you schedule those. It could be a facilitator in decision making, a gatekeeper, a navigator walking you through experiences. One of those examples that they give is shopping. So I'm going to read this straight from their example so you have it straight from the source. But here's an example of what a pie can do. Ellie, this is a shopping example. Ellie is a teenager from LA who loves shopping but rarely has the opportunity to visit top stores given her busy school schedule. Ellie's pie learns her style of dress, tracks the latest designs, tries on digital outfits. Ellie pulls up her pie on her mobile device and watches it wearing her different outfits using her AR. She selects her favorite ones and purchases the real outfit for herself. And that's one example of this AI. So it's like, I mean, that's a girl's dream. Well, like, I don't have to try this on. My AI identity with all my body sizings, my shape and form can try on these virtual clothing and then I can buy them straight from this little avatar. And the avatar even goes shopping and picks out what you find to be your latest trends. So it finds the clothing that you like, the style that you like, and pulls it all up. I mean, that's crazy. It can also book flights. You know, it'll go, if you're looking for a trip and it knows that you're a deal shopper and you go to find the best deals on flights, this thing will literally scan the internet, pull up all the best deals around the time frames or whatever you ask it to, and it can find those for you. It can also set up some kind of travel that it thinks that you will like. Here's another example, a restaurant takeout. Okay, Richard's family has difficulty finding takeout restaurants that meets everybody's food preferences. It takes time to search, call, inquire about food restrictions, and it takes every family member's order. Richard's pie can look for restaurants and cater to his family's dietary needs, create a selection of order combinations, and check with each family member through text or whatever to make sure everybody's okay with the selection. All the while, you're not talking to your actual person there. You're talking to your person's AI. Like, I mean, how are you going to know the difference? Is this the AI or is this actually you? Is this your automatic response or is this an actual person? Can you imagine the level of, we're just going to disconnect more. I mean, there's not going to be much personal. We've already lost a lot of personal habits between people. We don't talk on the phone anymore. We text. We don't even see people in person. You got a group of teenagers. They're all on the phone talking. There's no personal contact. Imagine what this AI can do. It's going to take a lot of that away.
You know, Lisa, when you were describing this in the last three or four sentences, I reflected back on the words that the late Jim Mars said on my show. He said, you know, we can beat these guys because there's more of us than there is of them. But in your description there, you were talking about why Jim's notion of numerical superiority won't work under the present circumstances. We're so isolated, we can't get united.
Yeah. That's 100% true. And they're making us more and more isolated. I mean, I really fear for the future of my kids as far as the isolation and being able to do things from home in your own little bubble and not having the contact that you need with the outside world. It's disturbing and scary. Like, I don't want my kids to live in a world like that. A world, I mean, you know, we have to have a level of communication skills. We have to have a level of interacting with people. We can't just be in our own little box. They're on video games or watching TV and constantly getting brainwashed and brain fed through these programs. All the while we have this personal avatar doing our shopping, doing all of our stuff that can be tracked. I mean, talk about George Orwell 1984. This is worse. This is far worse because we are so technologically advanced as far as where we're at. Where we can head is George Orwell's 1984, but I think in an exponential, exuberant level of George Orwell's 1984. But other things that this thing can do is it links with healthcare. Like it says, oh, this will help and revolve and extremely change the healthcare industry altogether. It says it can help with medical records. It can help with coaching patients. It can monitor and advise patients. Some of the examples they give, one of them is a physical therapy example where they send this avatar to this woman to show her how to do the exercises from her home using the avatar of the physical therapist. That's one. Another one is medical reminders. It'll send automatic reminders to all the patients when to take their medicine. These are all via text, so you don't even have to do these reminders. A creepy one was the social networking one, and I gotta read this one to you too, Dave, because it's just crazy, but it's dating. Imagine dating on this avatar app, but it says, Here's what it says. Amy's busy work schedule prevents her from spending time to find the perfect match. Instead, she allows her Pi to do the searching for her. It will search according to her preferences and find profiles it knows it aligns with Amy's personality. So first of all, Amy has a personality on her Pi. The Pi is very well aware of her personality. Amy can program, you know, what kind of colors of men she like, what kind of size men she like, what kind of athleticism or non-athleticism she likes in this man, and this thing is going to go search for it. It will even talk to other pies, like if the man that she's looking for has a pie, they will talk to each other and answer questions during the search process to see if they will match. It then presents Amy with a matching pie profile because the pie is verified and identical to the owner. She knows that the profile exists in the real world and looks exactly like his pie because when you get on, you know, sites like Match.com, the other, it's not always the exact true picture. Well, apparently your pie has to be matched, so there's no surprises on the first date. But these pies speak to each other to see if the two would align. And so it does all the searching for you and finds the perfect matches. It's just crazy. But everything from job searches to group chats. It'll go in your group chats with your friends, with your associates, and it will respond for you. It will even send emojis. You know how we have these little emojis or bitmojis? It can send those based off of things that you've said. Even answer voice messages on your that are tracked on the internet or whatnot. You're gonna love this one. Two, it can get on your entertainment and media. Like you and I, right, we're media personalities. So some of the things it can do, for example, it gives this example of having coffee with a celebrity. Okay. It says, June is a big fan of Elon Musk and closely follows all his projects and companies. June wishes that he could sit down with Elon Musk and ask him the biggest questions on his mind. For a small fee, June reserves an AR coffee meeting with Elon Musk's pie. and his three closest friends. June and his friends sit at a virtual table with their three pies and ask Elon Musk pie questions about raising funds or advancing and starting up a company. Can you imagine that? Like, so here's a whole other source of revenue, if you will, for celebrities, but ways that, you know, the average public can go and send their pies to talk to Elon Musk's pie, who reportedly is Elon Musk as much as can be in a virtual sense, and they get things answered. Another thing that these things do is, for you and I, for example, we have a bunch of comments that we can't respond to, right? So this thing will go and respond to comments that we, you know, that like if there's questions, it can respond to those questions that are given to us by, you know, people who are leaving comments in our YouTube or are leaving comments on our website. These are other things that this pie can do. I mean, it's literally a brainchild of you. And it's I don't know whether to be severely creeped out or excited, but in either sense, to have that amount of information gathered on a person, that is never a good thing.
Well, of course it's not. Boy, it's hard to even know where to jump into all this. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. I read something recently about the Google, for lack of a better term, homemade devices that are made of AI, artificial intelligence, and they were saying that once a device learns your family interaction patterns, it begins to give advice. Have you heard this?
No, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Oh, I'm not making this up. I read it in a popular magazine, and I don't remember if it was like Popular Mechanics, but it was a mainstream article. I read it when I was in the doctor's office. And I was, my goodness, I could not believe what I was reading, but it makes sense to me, and it begins to dispense counseling advice. A third parent, I did a YouTube broadcast on this a few days ago, and I talked about the third parent of the home. And this is stunning in these developments here. They're taking over our interaction patterns. You have to wonder, Lisa, if this is more of a conditioning process, AI over human.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if we have, I don't know. I can just imagine them. AI over human for sure. Well, if we go with the goal of transhumanism, right? The ultimate goal is to create a robotic body, if you will, your transhuman body, that a brain can be implanted, or the consciousness of a human implanted in a robotic body, this robotic body that lives forever. Amen. It makes immortality. That's what they're looking for. Transhumanism, yes, are looking for immortality. And the way to do that, they believe, is to be able to transfer our personality, our conscience, into this robotic brain, into this robotic body. And that's what they're trying so hard to do. Well, I personally don't think that's obviously ever going to be achievable. It's something that they can try and attempt, but I don't think it's something that God would ever allow, because he is the creator. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the one that puts together and makes those bodies, and that conscience is not to be easily transferred in that way, I don't believe. But when I see AI such as these pie things, such as the area that we're headed into, I can't help but think about transhumanism and how we are. I mean, they're obviously making step after step after step into that direction. I think it's 2045.com or 2050.com. There's a website where they actually are already creating robotic bodies in which they're planning for the future, that when they can transport human consciousness into these bodies, they will. And I think this is a step in that direction, if you will. I mean, and if they ever do get to that level, we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, I don't know. But we're playing God here, and I think that's a very crazy line to be drawn. But these AIs are a step in that direction, and, you know, it's going to sound really good to a lot of people, and it does. Like, to have, you know, an assistant and a copy of myself, that sounds amazing. Like, if we just take it at its surface level, I would love that, you know? And it's not just that. We're giving up our sovereignty. We're giving up our security. We're giving up our personal personal information. We're giving up our privacy and our freedom in order to do that. Is it worth it? That's what the American people have to ask. Is it worth it to put yourself out there in that level, completely hackable, completely frameable? Like you said, we can be framed. And I can imagine that a lot more of it will go on, especially when it's a virtual carbon copy of you. And I think it's just a step towards the transhumanism process. So, I mean, there's a lot of things going through my head with this in mind, but there are some major warning signs also, specifically what you're talking about.
Well, the warning signs for me came from a man named Vance Davis. And I've told this story on my radio show. In fact, I've had Vance on many times. He was a former NSA agent. And I met Vance through some pretty serendipitous circumstances back in 1993. So we've known each other for a long time. Here's what he told me, Lisa. He said, in his initial training, they were taught there is a war going on out in the cosmos between what we'd call good and evil, fallen angels, whatever you want to label it. And he said, it's come here to the earth. The prize of the satanic army, what they covet, is our soul. But they can't unlock the mystery of the soul. It's too divine. So what they did was invent transhumanism. Now, Vance told me this story in 1993 before the term transhumanism even became in popular use. But you're absolutely right. This is the goal. Patrick Wood captures this in technocracy work he does. And this is where they're trying to take the human race. But you know, at the end of the day, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, I think this makes about 95% of us expendable.
Absolutely, I agree. And I've actually had Patrick Wood on my show a few times. He's got some amazing stuff on that technocracy rising and, you know, how we are being ruled, if you will, by a bunch of scientists, by a bunch of technocrats that want to lead us up in that direction. And the more we study, the further we see it going in that direction. But absolutely, Dave, I don't put it past anyone that they could do something like that. But ultimately, they want to eliminate anyone who is against that system. And on the other side, so to speak, on the Christian side, on the patriotic side. So there is a battle between good and evil. I mean, absolutely, especially the spiritual realm. And you and I being on the side of God and the angels and all of that, well, we're obviously enemy number one for them.
That's true. And I wonder if this isn't the root reason for the censorship we experience on Facebook and YouTube.
I think so. I mean, you know, we were warned in the Bible that we would suffer persecution. And here's a statistic I'll throw at you. This was grabbed from WHO about a month ago, but one in every 12 Christians, one in 12 are persecuted all across the globe, or persecuted, or they can't worship God in their own country. If me and you have more than 12 friends, we have, you know, 100 Christian people that we know here in the Arizona area easily, none of which are persecuted. Okay, so if we take this at a global level, at least on America, not at the level they're claiming on this WHO sheet, that pretty much means that everybody outside of America, for the most part, or outside of the European area, are being persecuted for their Christian faith, or are not allowed to worship God or Jesus for their Christian faith in one way, shape, or form. In all predominantly 55 Muslim countries, every single one of them persecute or belittle Christianity and anyone who is a Christian. What does that tell you? I mean, and it's creeping in. We know Barack Obama, he put a lot of Muslims up in our upper government. He was a Muslim. He's a radical Islamic, I think, you know, extremist, if you will, who came under the banner of a president. And they're all allowed to lie for the name of Allah. They're allowed to do all kinds of things in Allah's name. So how do you ever know what truth really is when they're permitted to do such things? And those are other things that we have to watch out for. Is I think there is a growing under the radar silent persecution coming, and it could come with a slow boil, or it could come with a thunderous roar. I'm kind of waiting to know which way that cookie crumbles. Which way do you think? I mean, could we see it as a thunderous roar in the future, or you think it'll be a slow bubble?
I have to say something off the cuff here, and I'll return to your question. I'm hearing growling.
That's my dog.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm like trying to get him to stop. He is, what is he doing? He's snoring.
I want to share this anecdote and then I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
Last March, I was with a group of people over in Hawaii and I was with my family. And I was interviewing Steve Quayle while we were there. And it was quiet as a church mouse. It was crazily quiet. Yet when we played the recording, and it went out on YouTube, and later played on my radio show, someone was clanging dishes. And there were no noises when we were interviewing. And I've been through this before, and I'm hearing this growling. I'm thinking, okay, I think Baal has invaded our broadcast. That's what I was thinking.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. No. Okay, but to answer your question.
I'm trying to stop snoring, and I'm all
Well, I'm glad we have an earthly reason here for the noise I was hearing. But anyway, let me go back to the question you asked me. A thunderous roar, and what was my other choice?
Or a slow boil.
They do things, the globalists do things on multi dimensions, and I think we're seeing evidence of both. I think certainly Pence's move towards being rude to North Korea at the Olympics, I mean, he could at least show diplomatic courtesy, even if they are enemies technically, because you hold out hope that you can have peace rather than war, but he's about war, and I think that this is proof the globalists are really pushing that event upon us, in which they're going to kill not millions, but billions. The other thing that we see, though, and you're right, a slow boil, absolutely. I was telling this story today. I was teaching a Sociology 101 class, oh gosh, probably what, 3 or 4 years ago now, and we were talking about socialization of gender roles. I mean, a mainstream sociology concept. And this female student spoke, I would say, excuse me, but there are 97 genders. I'm thinking, she's got to be on LSD. Okay, I mean, there's something wrong with this person. And now, I know exactly what she's talking about, because if you do a gender insult in New York and California, you can be fined and go to jail. So that's an erosion of our culture. In fact, the recent controversy involving the hockey mask at the Olympics that had on traditional American patriotic symbols is an erosion of our culture. That's the slow boil. That's the nationalism is bad and globalism is good. So I think we're seeing it on both ends, Lisa, but I think the more devastating part, a country can generally survive a war and its culture can remain intact along with its values. But once the culture and the values are gone, you're already conquered. You don't even need the war.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the plan, I think, from the get-go, is they want us demoralized, because the more demoralized we are, the easier we are to control, the easier we are to put under their thumb, the easier and more likely we are to go along with their plan. This is propaganda 101, if you will. This is part of Yuri, what was his name? There was a Russian, former Russian KGB agent, Yuri, and I'm blanking on his last name.
Bezmenov or something like that.
Yeah. He leaked, you know, the plan of how they're going to go about this back in the early 1900s, if you will. And he was saying how he demoralized, destabilized, and then eventually you go into normalized. It was destabilized, and then demoralized, destabilized, crisis, then normalized. Those are the four stages. And I suggest that we're likely in level four, where they're kind of normalizing the immorality, the demoralization of our country. We're destabilized. 9/11, which we all know is a false flag attack, that put us under crisis mode, which allowed them to pass all these rules and regulations against our freedoms, against our privacy, and push all this stuff that the American people fell asleep for. Some are still asleep, but they're attempting to wake up and get out on the other side of this, so we're not normalized forever. Amen. But some of the things that he shares about how they normalize a culture, some of those are They can easily do that through giving handouts, government giving handouts and offering goodies to the people. Well, this is something that, you know, Barack Obama did exponentially. You know, Bill Clinton did a lot of, and all these former presidents have kind of built up to this, but it's give the people, you know, not only goodies, but also entertain them to death. That's what media is for. That is what, you know, all this, you know, getting online and just being brainwashed by the television, being brainwashed by video games, being brainwashed by everything. And look, there's nothing wrong with, I watch a lot of TV. I watch a lot of, you know, I play video games. These are things my kids do and we do. But there is also a line, teach your kids about propaganda, brainwashing, because that's exactly what they're doing. And when they're not taught these things, they fall easily prey or victim to exactly the brainwashing techniques that were taught to people in the upper ranks of our government years and years and years ago. So they use these programs against the population to get us demoralized, to get us destabilized, to get us to that controllable level. And I believe Donald Trump is attempting to turn that around. But when you've got such a brainwashed generation, you're going to have a lot of hesitation. You're going to have a lot of fight back, especially being that it took them years and years and years to get here. To demoralize the culture, it takes about 15 years. That step alone is a 15-year period. Why do I say that? Well, as Yuri had stated, it takes 15 years to brainwash a generation in the public school system. That's a fact. That's why they pushed in Common Core. That's why we have Communist Core. Use it to brainwash the generation, and then the next one is about 2 to 5 years to destabilize, and a crisis could last all of the most 6 weeks, you know, and then normalization is where they normalize it all. So we're talking 20 years worth of work, at least, to get us at this level, and obviously a lot more than that, because Americans are very, very solid people, but they're attempting to take away our spirit. They're attempting to take away our rights, and now they want everything not private about us, so we're ultimate control bunnies under their radar.
You know, I'm reflecting on something that Donald Trump said when he was running. He said, "We're going to do so much winning, you won't believe it." Mm-hmm. And I think he was really ahead of the curve of what we're talking about right here. I think this is exactly what he was referring to, because America's been beat down for so long that we forgot what it's like to win. And now we are winning. Trump is growing in popularity, and don't believe those polls. I mean, he is wildly popular right now. And I look at this, Lisa, and I just think that, my goodness, he was right. We had to give America a taste of success, and the globalists are freaking out. They don't know what to do. I mean, you look at it now, people, it's cool to be patriotic. His approvals are through the roof, and I'm talking about the legitimate polls. We're living in revolutionary times right now. What are the globalists going to do to stop it? Or can they?
I think they're obviously going to try. I mean, we've talked about that. I mean, they could easily assassinate him. I don't know what repercussions that's going to have in America if they do try something like that. I don't know if they'll go to that level, or obviously they're trying to frame him with the whole Russian thing. All the memos came out, the FISA memo, the second memo, and all they could do is scream, "Oh, there's nothing to look at here, move on." I mean, no, there's a lot to look at in this thing, and yet they still try to pin the Russian narrative. And if you believe what's in the FISA memo, now you're a Russian agent yet again. I mean, it's gone into Looneyville. And what ticks me off is some American, not our viewers, they're all smart and they're all awake, but there's some that are still viably brainwashable by CNN. And I want to shake them so hard, because I'm like, can't you see? I mean, hello. First they were screaming not to receive the memo. They were scared to release it. Then they release it and pretend it's no big deal and go from there and go on about their mansy-pansy way. Then they say, oh, well, if you believe in it, you're a Russian agent still. I mean, come on. When the whole thing was based off of a bogus lie, and the whole reason that they stopped the Russian narrative was this fake dossier by Christopher Steele. I mean, this has gone into insanehood, above and beyond where we need to. And I just... you know, I go back to what Yuri had said, the former Russian KGB agent, or the ex-one, but he literally said these people are so in their normalized bubble that they are not going to wake up, no matter what information, no matter what proof, no matter what evidence they see, until it slaps them literally dead in the face in their own little bubble, in their own little world. And he even warned that people on the far left, they're going to turn on you. And one day you're going to stand there and you're going to get shot right in the back by these people. And that's the god-awful truth. They will use you, abuse you, and then take advantage of you to get the system that they want. And that's what these sleeping people don't realize. They're leading us into communism. They're leading us into tyranny. And then when they wake up to find they're in tyranny, they're not going to like it so much at that point, but they were asleep for so long that they don't realize that's where they're attempting to take us.
Well, slavery is the ultimate goal. There's no question about that. And actually, I think it's more of an indentured servitude, where we'll work for pennies in some slovenly state where we're dumbed down through transhumanism. I mean, you know, I was talking to Steve Coyle. I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him where everything was headed. And I'm going to paraphrase what Steve said. All roads lead to transhumanism. Do you agree with that?
I think they can. I mean, all roads, well, I mean, that's the technological way that we're headed. So I would have to say pretty much, because they want immortality. They want to be immortal. They want to be in that area. And this is something that they think the New World Order promises them. So it's just a part of their perfect life that they think they can actually achieve.
It's amazing. Well, Lisa, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to help people be able to follow your good work. Where can they go to follow more about Lisa Haven and what you do?
Yeah, I'm on YouTube, so if you just put in Lisa Haven, H-A-V-E-N, on YouTube, you can find me right on there. I also have a website. If people want to check that out, they can go to lisahaven.news, and they can subscribe to my newsletter there and also read a lot of the reports, and I put all the YouTube videos there also.
That sounds great. Well, you do such great and spectacular work. I was honored to share this segment with you. Lisa, I look forward to having you back on.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave. I appreciate being on.
Lisa Haven, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. Well, we got just about a minute overlap here, so we'll go to the top of the hour break in just a minute. But I think everyone can see why I'm such a big fan of Lisa Haven. I'm proud to call her a colleague. The Pie Program. Ain't no pie for me. And as you heard me say, Google Maid assistants in your home are doing much of the same thing. This is scary. I mean, you heard me say in there that they're actually training a Google device to act as a counselor with parent-child interaction conflicts. I mean, who needs CPS when you've got this kind of intervention? It's absolutely insane what's going on. Well, in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Patrick Wood. And if you're just joining us, I had detailed earlier that Pat is going to be talking on part two about technocracy rising and how it's dominating our lives and what it is and how bad it is for us. But he's not going to leave us hanging. I asked him to come back and do a part two interview with me with regard to intervention, strategies to combat technocracy. And you say, Dave, I'm not really familiar with that term. Okay, until we get that really kind of laid out in the next hour, you probably want to think of this as Agenda 21 if you're familiar with that. They want to control the energy you use, where you live, how you live. They control where you work, how long you'll live, what you'll eat. Everything is controlled. In fact, I'm living not too far from the area where Bill Gates is bringing in a smart city. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting they bring it into Phoenix, because let me tell you why. Arizona Public Service, I actually call them APS, Arizona People Stealing From You, most corrupt public utilities in America. But APS has a pilot program that's been going on for several years now where they have smart meters that control everyone's energy outlet. If you're, let's say, drying your clothes at the same time that you're running your air conditioner on a 100-degree day, they may shut one of them down. It's crazy. And now we have this smart city coming in under the direction of Bill Gates. And tell me it's not connected. And it's right out there by the Chinese Energy Solar Farm. More on that. We come back from the break with Pat Wood. Stay tuned, everybody. We will see you in hour number three.